Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
They fell short a week ago at Twickenham. The Grand Slam is no longer on the table.
Thank you.
But Six Nations Championships are not to be sniffed at. 1949, the last time an Irish side won a Grand Slam and backed it up with the championship the following year. And that's what this Ireland team have achieved. They've done it the hard way. They've been made to work for it every inch by this Scottish team. But Peter O'Mahony and his players have got the job done in the end.
Yeah, they have, and I think they deserve massive credit. To be fair, it's been a difficult... Scotland have been so good here defensively all through the game. We've been saying it. And to be fair, Ireland stuck at it. They came out in the second half. So much more urgency, direct. Unlucky to not get a couple of more tries. And then they one piece of brilliance from Hugh Jones. Changes the scoreline, obviously, and makes it nervy for the last 2 minutes, but it's another incredible achievement with this group of players to win another championship.
Your thoughts, Andrew? You were there in Paris in 2014. It was Brian O'Driscoll's last game. A lot of talk over whether or not we'll see Peter O'Mahony again. He's the captain here today.
Yeah, Peter O'Mahony, what an absolute legend of Irish rugby. He's done it in so many forms. He's been that athletic youngster coming in, setting standards, and now he's rose through the ranks, and he's been that leader for the last couple of years, leading, maybe not by name, not being captain, but he's been leading this pack, bringing huge experience, big opportunities for him to really enjoy this moment.
Well, it'll be a memorable day for him, whatever the future holds. Ireland have just about held off the Scots here in the end. Not a great game, but it was tense and tight in the end. Full time, Ireland 17, Scotland 13.
Dave, Alan, Andrew, thank you. Six Nations title for Ireland. Maybe Shane Horgan not the absolute euphoria at full time of this time last year, but plenty of satisfaction nonetheless. Six Nations Championship.
Yeah, and I think you have to look at the context about Ireland's, you know, history in the Six Nations and the Five Nations. Is we don't have many championships. These players now have, many of them have a championship after a Grand Slam. Some of them have five championships, which is scarcely believable a few years ago, only a few short years ago. But Joe, nobody cares about how you win until you start winning. And really, that's what this team have to encounter as well. So they'll sit back in the years to come and they'll look at the history books, and they've won a championship. And how they won it over the last... They stumbled a little bit over the last couple of games. They won't worry about that.
Extraordinary pictures there. Peter O'Mahony taking it in, Rob. I do suspect it. I mean, it does look, for all intents and purposes, like his last day in an Irish jersey. Just the body language screamed that all afternoon. That's not a bad way to go out.
No, you know, everyone wants to go out at the top, and it's a very, very difficult thing to do, Joe. And if it is to be his last day in a green jersey, he has gone out from the top. He has led this team unbelievably well this season. He's been a true warrior for Irish and Munster rugby. The best of teammates. He'd go to the hill for you.
Matt Williams, we all need to cheer up a bit, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. There's a trophy there. You know, it's the first time, as you said before the game, since Jackie Kyle's great team, that legendary name of Jackie Kyle, since the 1940s when they won a Grand Slam, then backed it up with a championship afterwards. Look, and Shane's right. It's winners are grinners, the losers can please themselves. But the other thing that came up, just not on the competition points, Ireland were plus 84. The closest to them was zero. Like, they have dominated this tournament. There's no way to ask about it. So, you know, look, let's give them great credit and let's enjoy it.
And they've done it the hard way, away to France, away at Twickenham, and they've come out on top. Let's hear from today's player of the match. He is so often so brilliant. Ireland's number 9, Jamieson Gibson-Park.
Jameson Gibson-Park, you are the Guinness Six Nations Player of the Match, and you receive your Player of the Match medal from Rory Sheridan of Guinness. Congratulations, Jameson. How does it feel as you take the appreciation of your captain? How does it feel to be a back-to-back Six Nations champion for only the third time in Irish rugby history?
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing feeling, and to be back here in front of our friends, our family, and our home supporters is pretty incredible, especially 2 years in a row. So I can't thank you all enough. It's been amazing.
What was key to digging out that victory today against a very determined Scottish team?
I think we had to stay in the fight, eh? It was, I suppose, a good game. Two good teams going at it. You know, they had a triple crown on the line, and we're going for a championship. So tough going, and two good teams going at it.
Does it give you a lot of pride as a team that you came back from the defeat last week, that maybe you didn't play your best today at all times, came out in the second half and got the job done?
Yeah, exactly. I suppose our backs were against the wall a little bit, so unbelievably proud of the boys, and the whole staff have stuck together over the last week and managed to gouge out a performance today that I suppose we can be proud of. So, yeah, it's been a good week.
What do you have to say about this man standing beside you?
He's a legend, isn't he? Yeah, privilege to play alongside him, and an absolute legend of the game. So,
thank you, Jameson. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Straight into it.
Ireland captain Peter O'Mahony, congratulations. You've captained the team to Six Nations glory today. You're clearly very emotional. Can you tell us, is this your last game?
I don't know. I've a few chats to have with family and stuff, over the next couple of weeks. And if it was my last one, it's not a bad one to go on. You know what I mean?
Talk to us about the week that you've had, the disappointment of last week, getting the lads right, getting the lads going, and getting the job done today.
Yeah, one of the tougher weeks in my career. For lots of different reasons. We weren't happy with the performance last week, and when we knew we could do better, but we had a job to go and do, and thankfully today we went out and did it against a seriously good Scottish side. But I thought we showed loads of grit. I thought we showed ambition with the ball in a damp kind of greasy environment, and I thought we played some good rugby. And that kind of middle 20 in the second half was massive for us.
Talk to us about that second half performance and the messages at halftime, because first half had been frustrating, high stakes. Obviously, I'm sure there were nerves out there, but you came out as a team in the second half and looked determined to really get the job done.
Yeah, that's what we spoke about, was getting stuck in, and we probably put a lot of lead in their legs with regard to the amount of rugby that we played, so we needed to get some reward for it now. So we just said we'd stay at it and keep going, and I thought the 10 minutes after half time was really, really impressive.
If this is to be the end, Peter, talk to us about this experience, what it's been like for you, what captaining the team in this championship has been like.
We could sit here for an hour or two chatting about that. Special group of people, players, staff. I think that World Cup experience really bonded this group. I know we're missing a couple of guys from that, but between our families and the group, we're tight, and it's a huge honour. It's a huge honour to captain your country. It's a huge honour, as I always say, every time you get selected to play for your country, it's a big honour. And I thought we showed it the utmost respect today.
Congratulations, Peter.
Thank you.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Yeah, Peter O'Mahony, if that is his last day, it may be, it may not. An extraordinary way to go out. A word on this man here, Andy Farrell, and what he's done, Rob Kearney.
Yeah, listen, I think one of the biggest things about today is how this team has bounced back from a devastating World Cup. And a huge of that is down to the coach. He's galvanised them well, he's regrouped them. They haven't dwelled an enormous amount on the World Cup, and he's always that coach who's just next game focused, next day, next moment. And he's done incredible work with them. We can see how difficult it is for teams. And I've been in those situations before. Shane, you have too. You come back from a really disappointing World Cup, and it's tough to get the performances back up to where they should be. So, and a huge amount of that credit has to go to the head coach.
He turned the page really quickly on the World Cup.
there wasn't the hangover that we saw with the likes of France. And in fairness, he turned the page really quickly on the England game as well, because he needed to do it, and it wasn't easy. You can see there was a hangover there. You can see that there was a massive emotional outpouring last week, and to get them back on track, they limped over the line, but they got over the line, and that's all he'll care about, that's all they'll care about.
And I think, you know, he's been a great rugby league player, fantastic rugby. I watched him play for many years, and every time Ireland have had a failure, which is very rarely, his leadership has been, let's go to the next one. Forget it. Let's go. He did it at the World Cup quarter. The way he spoke after the quarterfinal and the way he spoke last week, immediately after the game, saying, England deserved this, but we've got a cup to win next week. I think his leadership has been phenomenal. And look, his players worship him. His players speak so highly of him. And the team is performing. There's no two ways. In the Six Nations, the team has performed really, really well.
And he's not afraid of the tough conversations too. You know, Monday morning in that team room, the analysis department watching the game back was not pretty for them. And there was a lot of real, frank, honest conversations that were had. And it would have been easy for a coach to sort of say, you know what, forget about that. We're just going to look forward. The only thing that matters is the next game. But he didn't. He analysed. He wanted to understand where they went wrong, where they can be better, and how they can learn for it to try and bring it today. And as Shane said, they didn't bring it today. It wasn't a great performance. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter.
Second half performance was better, Shane.
Yeah, it was. They've started playing in the right areas. You know, maybe not the control that we're used to seeing with Ireland. But, you know, apart from that, you know, trying near the end, Scotland, you know, weren't in that half at all. You know, Ireland could have had more tries, held above the line a couple of times. Maybe one was a sort of slightly dodgy decision by the TMO. But, you know, we put a lot of ball down as well. You don't have to win every game in a spectacular way. Will there be a reset after this? Will there be a lot of analysis that Rob speaks about? I think there will be. And there'll have to be before they get to the Springboks in the summer, because, you know, that's not good enough for the Springboks. But it was good enough today, and sometimes you just have to get over the line.
Well, it's interesting. Let's use Andy Farrell's words. Don't be desperate, be accurate. And just in the last moments of that second half, they just on the try line, probably four tries they left out, and that's what Ireland weren't. They weren't accurate. But again, to their credit, they kept their composure, they kept their belief. We're saying take the three, they kept going for the corner, they kept believing in themselves, which is something Farrell puts into his players, and eventually, ugly as it was, they got across the line and did it.
And you know the other thing here, right, there is a lot of success in that on that pitch. There's a lot of guys with a lot of championships. But there's also, fellas, it's their first championship. You know, Crowley hasn't won anything, broke onto the scene. Nash had never won anything. Big Joe McCarthy, Frawley, who wasn't playing today but playing through the championship. Harry Byrne, who was on the bench today, you know, came on. This is an amazing time in their lives. And sometimes we have to think we're living in this sort of belly pop era of Irish rugby that is perhaps unique and we mightn't see again, and we should embrace it.
Yes, it is surreal to be talking about a second Six Nations in a row and asking, but was it impressive enough? Did it really get us going? Were we out of our seats? So it's worth bearing that in mind. And another thing as well is, after that first outing against France, away to France, that seemed to put the Sexton is gone conversation to bed. And maybe just over the subsequent couple of games, it's been a worthy reminder, actually, this is still a team in transition, finding its feet after the pivotal figure in the pivotal position has walked away. So, of course, there are going to be teething problems. We had talked about this championship in advance as one of transition, not necessarily one where they might do a grand slam.
Oh, exactly. And listen, I don't think anyone thought that Jack Farley was going to come into this team and replace Johnny Sexton in the exact same performance that he did. And it will take him time to do that. But he has gone through this championship. Okay, yes, there's been mistakes and different things he can work on, but that's normal. And he will improve as time goes on. But he now is the man in the driving seat in the number 10 jersey, which is, you know, what he would have wanted to achieve at the start of the tournament.
Well, Dave McIntyre, these are the moments the players work for. They're to be savoured, not least in front of a home crowd.
Yeah, certainly is, Joe. Joe McCarthy, amongst those players who was mentioned by the guys, has been one of the recipients of a first championship medal. He'll always remember this. Tyke Byrne, obviously part of the Braxton winning side of last year. Josh van der Fleer knows this feeling all too well. But it'll never grow old. For so many years throughout the mid-80s onwards, all the way through the 90s and through to 2009, Ireland were never really close to Grand Slams or championships. Or maybe 0-3 against England when they came to 10 and ruined those Grand Slam dreams. But in the last 15 years, it has become almost an expectation. 2009, 14, 15, 18, 23, and now 2024. At no point, Alan, should Six Nations Championship titles be taken for granted.
No, they shouldn't. And the lads mentioned there, probably, you know, after the disappointment after the World Cup, psychologically it was going to be difficult to come back in, get themselves up, get themselves to that same level. They haven't hit that same level that we'd seen kind of in the build-up and last year's championship. That dominance I'm talking about, but they've got the job done. Last week was a huge disappointment. Everyone was hoping for a Grand Slam situation here, but to win a championship here again, you know, they won 9 out of the last 10 Six Nations games, which is an incredible achievement, and they deserve a lot of credit. No, they won't be over-analysing the players themselves after this. I think the coaches will certainly look back on the whole championship and review all the games and try and be better and understand a little bit that maybe we've seen a little bit of the opposition teams figuring that attacking width that Ireland get on the... that have got on the ball and shutting it down a little bit. And that's what Scotland did a lot today. England did it last week as well.
Well, one final medal to be distributed to the great Peter O'Mahony, who played for Ireland for the 105th time today. A fifth Six Nations Championship medal for him, the first as the Ireland captain. Peter O'Mahony brings the Six Nations Championship trophy back over to his teammates. What a proud moment it is for him. We may never see him in the green of Ireland again. For the second time in 11 years, Ireland have won back-to-back championships. It is Ireland, Six Nations Championship winners for 2024.
Special moments between the players. Rob Kearney, how does that feel?
It's the best feeling of them all, Joe. It's the one you keep chasing when you lose big games, when you get knocked out of World Cup quarterfinals. This is what gets you back and this is what you're working for. And listen, with professional sport, with rugby, the lows can be unbelievably low. But the highs, like the lads are experienced now, nothing comes close to them. You're doing it with your best mates, for your country, in front of all the Irish people. This is the pinnacle of the job and the pinnacle of what you do. And you know, when you dream as a kid of playing for your country, you want to win silverware. And to be able to do it now, back to back, is... a special team, and we're living in special times as rugby supporters.
France and England at home next year. There's no reason why it can't be three. This is a good team. They can keep going. There's plenty more in this group of players. Plenty, plenty more. And they're enjoying it and loving it. That's why you strap the boots on for days like this.
Some people wondering during the week, would everybody stay for the trophy presentation? Yeah.
Do you think they cared about the performance?
Andrew Trimble has joined us from commentary. Hello.
Hi, fellas. Great to be here.
These scenes, you've been there, you've experienced them.
Oh, it's incredible. As Carnes was saying, these are very, very special moments, especially for the likes of Peter Mahoney. I'm sure you guys have touched on already, but what an occasion for him. And Shaggy, to your point, he doesn't give a stop about the performance. It was first half was miserable. It turned most of us away from rugby, and we all got one back over the final whistle. Now we're pumping, the party's going, and these lads are going to have the time of their lives. Just celebrate, enjoy each other's company, and just enjoy making very special memories together.
That's what it's all about, that trophy. And the man at the helm is Andy Farrell, who's just done the most extraordinary job. Let's hear from the Irish head coach.
Andy Farrell, top of the pile again. How does that feel?
This is what it's all about, you know. Getting yourself into position to be in a position to win a championship is pretty special. And, you know, life's all about memories, isn't it? And stuff like this is what dreams are made of, really, for our players to be able to go back to back is pretty tough, you know, and so proud of the boys, everyone involved.
Talk about the job they had to do today. High stakes game, difficult game, Scottish team really up for it.
Yeah, Scotland played magnificent, I thought they was really tenacious, tough, really abrasive. I thought, you know, they played the game really well in the conditions in the first half, but second half, I thought we came out of the box really, really strong and played some absolutely brilliant rugby at times, and we just couldn't convert it. And they never wavered right till the death, though, so they deserve tremendous credit as well.
Talk to us about that second half performance. You came out just a point up and looked like a team that really were determined to get the job done and deliver.
Yeah, no, they were. You know, it means a lot to them. They don't want to let people down, you know. They don't want to let each other down. It means an awful lot, and they'll go that extra mile for one another. They're a proper team, and they deserve to look after one another like that, you know. I thought we played pretty well in that second half, albeit we should have converted some more chances, but just so fitting for them, for the work that they put in, and delighted for them.
There was a lot of criticism after the defeats during the week. Are you proud of how the team responded?
There was criticism from you before the game. Look, we don't take it on. I mean, championships, there's a reason why a back-to-back's never been done as far as Grand Slams before. And you look at all the competitions like the World Cup, somebody always normally loses and wins the game. Same with the soccer, the Champions League, etc. You know, this is what happens. That's why the Six Nations is so special, and that's why it means a lot to us.
Finally, just a word on Peter. He didn't say that he's finished up for sure. He's going to have conversations, he said himself. But just the job he's done as captain, the role he's played. Your thoughts on Peter's role?
He played
Peter's
his best
role.
Game tonight. Yeah. We're so proud of him. How we led them. There was a bit of pressure on him, wasn't there? You know, he was emotional before the game. I was intrigued at how he was going to handle the game on the field, you know, because the emotions was running through his blood, as you'd expect. But he was really calm. He led the team magnificently, I thought, and played his best game of the tournament so far.
Congratulations, Andy. Enjoy the celebrations.
Andy Farrell there, talking to Tommy Martin. And these are the scenes. This is what it's all about. Ireland are Six Nations champions once again, 2024. And the party is getting started in Dublin. They are enjoying it. You know, when Andy Shane talks there about the difficulty of winning in sport, you're against the best of the best, things can go wrong, you're guaranteed nothing. It's hard to know what realistic expectations are of this team.
Well, just win a championship every year and keep on going. That's where our expectations are. And I could see almost his frustration and going, hang on a second. Like, we're delivering a championship here, you know, and we lose a game in the last minute kick against England, and it's, you know, a disaster. It's not. You know, it's not. We're living through a time that's really unusual. And these scenes that we see here with the guys coming around doing a lap of honour, they're, you know, far less frequent in the history of Irish rugby than they have been over the last 15 years, and in the last immediate few years as well. And Andy Farrell has been such a huge part of that. And the ability to win consistently is very, very difficult. And Ireland have a standard deviation that they don't drop below now, Matt. It seems every Six Nations.
Well, this is the 19th straight home win. Now, to put that in context for everyone at home, it's third in the all-time, or third all-time behind. I think the New Zealanders did it twice, and the South Africans did it under Nick Mallett. So, look, this is extraordinary. It's up there with the longest winning streaks in the world. That's not an accident. You don't just open your front door and find it. You've got to chase it. You've got to be dedicated. You've got to fight. You've got to make great choices. You've got to have a great staff and a dedicated group and strong leadership. And this is what this team's got. And when you get that and you keep fighting, as Andy said, you get that picture. You get to lift a trophy. And there's very few people in the planet get the chance to do that. And these guys have done it. And we all should be proud of them and not criticise what happened last week. That's sport. But this is brilliant stuff.
Where are you in that debate, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where this Irish team go from here. And again, let's not get carried away. These guys will be enjoying this moment, enjoying the occasion. But for a lot of us, we'll be thinking, where does this team go? Because it was only a few weeks ago we were saying, are Ireland the best team in the world? And this is only a couple of months after South Africa win the World Cup. So that whole debate seems bizarre. And they just put it to bed and said, right, how much better off will someone like Joe McCarthy be? Someone like Jack Crowley be? The experience they've had. And it hasn't just been all kind of mountaintop moments. It hasn't been all singing, all dancing. There's been times when they've had to dig deep. At halftime, I can only imagine what words were said to them at halftime. I think they showed a lot of character in the second half as well, so it's not all perfect, but there's a lot of guys will be far richer for this experience. They'll kick on, and they will be the leaders in the future. They will be the Peter Mahonies who will eventually get their moment like this, but they'll grow for this.
Yeah, kind of a strange championship. The win away in France seemed epic. My God, this team are extraordinary. And then France have shown us maybe they weren't quite what we thought, and then they dispatched of Italy, that was fine, and since then it's been so. So it's a tricky tournament to gauge in that respect.
But also, Joe, you said at the start of the broadcast, what makes a great team? And what makes a great team is silverware. And actually, there's nothing else that makes a great team. It's do you have success? They've had success this year. They had a Grand Slam last year. They won a tour away in New Zealand a couple of years ago. Yeah, they didn't do it at the World Cup. They have an opportunity in the summer, a tough opportunity to go against the Springboks as well. But and success there means greatness. That's what it means for this Irish iteration of the Irish team. In the context of Ireland, they might be the greatest Irish team we've ever had.
Yes, okay. Well, loads more reaction to come here from the Aviva Stadium. We'll hear from the players, hear from more of the coaching staff. A win is a win is a win. It was not perfect. First half, Dan Sheehan, and then Andrew Porter sealed the deal. Ireland, Six Nations champions. Welcome back to the Aviva Stadium. The rugby continues here in Virgin without skipping a beat. No gap week. We are straight into the Women's Six Nations next Saturday, 4:30. Wales-Scotland. Following week, we'll have England against Wales, and then lots of the Ireland games across the duration of the final three rounds. So we're looking forward to that. Here at the Aviva Stadium, Ireland are Six Nations champions. Second half, Furlong went close to a try. Nash went close to a try. There was the Gary Ringrose knock-on. Andrew Porter eventually rubber-stamped that performance and the win. It was Dan Sheehan who got the ball rolling 12 minutes into the first half with his try. Let's hear from the Irish hooker now.
Dan, a year on, another try-scoring, championship-winning day for you. How does that feel?
Oh, it's unbelievable. The amount of work that goes into a team like this to make sure we come off with the championship is, you don't see it behind the scenes, but there's so many people that work their asses off to make sure that this team functions. And our friends, our families sacrifice a lot. And it's just brilliant that we get to give them a day out like this. And the whole fan base that, we fell over last week, but we got right back up and we won a championship.
Yeah, talk to us about that week that you've had, back up on your feet and getting it right today, getting the job done. What was a really difficult match?
Yeah, our backs were to the wall a little bit. Scotland were probably the same after their loss to Italy. But, I think we took confidence from what we've done in the past. We have an experienced group of players. And we fed off each other all week. We just sort of grew that feeling of unbeatable feeling of just... our connections that we have with one another, and it comes true on a day. It was a really tough game, halftime blow, and then the bench came on, did a super job as well. So, really happy just to get it done.
Talk to us about that second half, as you say. Was there a sense of belief there, or a sense of determination that you had to see the job through, and like you knew it was going to take everything to beat the Scottish side today?
Yeah, we just said at halftime we have to go out and attack the second half. We can't just put our feet up here. The game is not, by no means done. I thought we did really well. We were unlucky not to score a few tries there. Scotland did really well to keep us from going over the line. In fairness to Scotland, they're a top quality outfit and dangerous side. Had my heart pumping there in the last 5 minutes.
Just give us your overall view then. It's been an incredible championship when you think of coming off the World Cup and the big challenge in France and the performance then and everything that's happened since then. Just give us your overall sense of where the team is right now.
Yeah, it's absolutely flown by. You know, we probably got together in Portugal 2 months ago and got that feeling again of what we're about. And, you know, before the World Cup when we had that confidence, it came back pretty quick. We're a great, very close bunch of players, the staff and everyone. So over the weeks, you know, it's a long process of trying to get right for these games, and I felt like we've just ticked them off one by one. And, you know, last week didn't faze us too much, which was brilliant, and just our composure then today to convert it was brilliant.
Getting used to having those medals around your neck.
Huh?
Getting used to having those medals around your neck.
Yeah, hopefully a few more now. That's brilliant though. Thanks.
Congratulations.
Cheers.
Cheers.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, a few more medals. Probably end up Ireland's top try scorer at the rate he's going. Dan Sheehan there. Let's have a quick look at his try. I don't know, can you call this like an own goal of sorts? We were wondering. I mean, it's a gift, Rob.
This is an absolute shocker. Scotland go to a four-man. They try and throw it to the back. There's absolutely no need to do that. You're 5 metres out from your own line. Just throw to the front and exit it. But Sheehan alive and ready, and as soon as it's gone over, pounced right in there into his bread basket. No one's stopping him from there. That's as easy as a try as he's going to get, and he gets a few easy ones. Us fullbacks had to work very hard for them. He gets the ball at the back of them all sometimes and just falls to the ground.
Fellas, just a question for you. It was something Alan Quinlan said, and I thought, you know, I was sort of quietly wondering the same thing. So for about, 18 months, 2 years, the Irish attack has destroyed teams. And what we had heard as part of that analysis was they've so many options the way they set up that it's very hard to defend against them, and that's why they continually cut through teams. I just wonder, Ireland have been the hunted now for a couple of years. Teams are analysing the tape at length. They're going to start seeing certain patterns and certain areas where they can get at Ireland. Twickenham, Scotland today look comfortable. Would there be a quiet conversation, do you think, in the Irish coaching ticket? Are we starting to be figured out just a little bit in attack?
Well, that's the way rugby ebbs and flows. You bring something new onto the scene, you have success with it.
Yeah.
Everybody sees what they struggle to deal with for a while. Then they analyse you, they get to grips with it, but your job then is to move on to the next thing.
Do you agree that we might be at them getting to grips with it phase?
Yeah, listen, I wouldn't read too much into the last few games either. You know, there was a unique set of circumstances in England, in Twickenham against England, and a unique set of circumstances here. Yeah, I'll have to analyse what they're doing anyway. You know, I think it was space in the backfield that wasn't exploited today. Their carries weren't as maybe intense as they might want to be. The options look to be there. You know, you just take the better option. You know, it's maybe some of the more conservative option a little bit. So, you know, there is development of the game plan. And listen, Andy Farrell has shown, and these coaches have shown, they're not standing sitting on their laurels. The way they've developed in the time since Andy took over, after sort of a fallow period at the start, it's been really enormous. And Ireland, I honestly think, when Ireland played their best rugby over that time, they played the best rugby of anybody.
Yes. I mean, it's not even necessarily a criticism of Ireland. It's, as you said, a natural ebb and flow of rugby. I'm curious, the rest of the panel, your sense, do you think other teams are starting to get more comfortable with what Ireland are doing in attack?
No, I don't think so. Sorry, buddy. I don't think so. The beauty of Ireland's blueprint and how they play rugby in terms of their attacking is they have all of those options at the line every time. I don't think we've seen Ireland play particularly well, the Six Nations, in terms of where they can truly get to. So I don't think that other teams have found us out. I just don't think our level of performances has been what we're capable of at this year's competition.
It's encouraging that they showed a lot of flexibility. Like we were potentially a little bit more predictable, a little bit more one-dimensional. Granted, that kind of shape and phase play was really effective for long periods, but the second half, granted, we went back to a more basic game plan, but the difficulty with that, or the bit that we're disappointed with, is the first half, they didn't react. They didn't go more direct. They didn't find space in the backfield, Matty, to your point. But in the second half, they completely changed the way they were playing, and they took the onus, and they took energy and just went direct. The problem with that is, and we're talking about the Springboks tour, you can't really do that against the Springboks. So you're going to have to be a bit more creative. But they've showed, I think they've got another gear. It's not that flamboyant, but at least it's something they can go to plan B.
And Andrew's right. And in the discussion we're having, let's remember the negative is always easier than the positive. Defence is much, much easier than attack. Attack is creating space, and defence is taking away space. And look, let's give the Scots credit. They did 200-plus tackles tonight. Their percentage of missed tackles was extremely low. England's defence last week was very good. Now, when you get to the high belt in June, you're in a different league again. So, like every team, if you don't grow and evolve, and in all elite sport, if you don't evolve, you're going backwards. So this team can't say, well, we've got a great attacking system, we're standing here. They've got to grow it, they've got to change, they've got to move it. And they've got a new 10. He's a young guy, as Robert said. They need to get him and say, well, what's his talent? Now, I think Jack's talent is running and being square himself. I think they can progress him in that attacking system. So there's a lot of things they can do.
And the positive here is you're evolving from a winning position.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
I think it's almost the best position. So they've won. They know that actually they need to evolve their game a little bit, and maybe, you know, they're being analysed and people are aware of the type of play that Ireland are playing. So, but what a position to do it from.
Yeah.
And they will develop that while keeping everybody happy, and while lifting trophies, while running around here with medals around their necks. You know, it's almost the perfect circumstances, because I don't think they'll rest on the laurels. I don't think they can. It's not the type of man Andy Farrell is, the backroom coaches. It's not. They'll look to evolve. And I actually think it's brilliant that they've a South African tour coming up, because they will know.
Yeah.
They go, you know, with all due respect, maybe even somewhere like, you know, Japan or Argentina, they go there. Actually, we don't have to really do that much and we get over the line. If they don't evolve and they don't bring their best game against South Africa, they will be in big trouble.
Yes.
And I think the template we can talk about is New Zealand when they dominated for all those years, because they played a great ball-in-hand game as well. You know, from Carter through to Barrett, Richie Moonga, you know, they had talented players, but their game didn't stand still, and they kept winning. And you're never going to win every game in international rugby. That's the game we're in. But if they follow that template, then the team can keep growing.
Yes, and it's worth saying as well, on another day, Ireland would have had a lot more tries. Let's look at some of these missed opportunities, Rob. Furlong, Nash, the Ringrose knock-on. So Ireland came out in the second half, and they put themselves in positions.
Yeah, there was a massive step up in intensity in the second half. There really was, and the breakdown work was much better.
Do you think that was a try?
No, I don't think that was a try. Now, when you slow it down, there could be arguments for and against. But for me, it wasn't. Trimble's laughing here himself.
He said
it was a try in the comms and got it wrong. But we move on to the next one. Gibson Park going front door. Some of these were very unlucky, and the ball was very greasy tonight too. So you have to take a little bit of that into consideration too. Lovely offload from Joe McCarthy here. Calvin Nash did well to step back inside. I thought he could have come off the left there and just drive for the line instead of taking that second step. Gary Ringrose was unlucky at one point coming onto the ball. We were camped in their half for the whole second half, and we should have come away with more. When you look at that scoreline at the bottom of the screen, 17-13, it wasn't that type of a game. And this has been the most unlucky of all. Redpath does incredible work there. That's amazing, and he's disappointed. But
and Joe, you know, for the result at the end, you know, 17-13 and that try near the end, there wasn't much jeopardy in the game for Ireland, really, was there?
No, it felt, I mean, the crowd got to their feet again and everybody got very nervous right at the end whenever Hugh Jones got that try, but the game was fizzling out, the game was gone. I think Scotland, because they put in such a huge defensive shift, they were exhausted.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it. Took a moment for like Hugh Jones, it just felt like Ireland switched off in defence,
yeah,
and he created something out of nothing, but Scotland didn't really create anything to claw their way back into the game. Maybe it shows from Scotland's perspective that can be very dominant, it can look very impressive, but ultimately they just sap themselves more and more, and then you lose that little bit of secret sauce that Scotland have.
Well, Scotland were equally as guilty as being inaccurate with the ball, and that they kept turning the ball over in good positions. And so that there, I would like to see the stats of possession and territory in that second half, because I think Ireland would have dominated the whole lot by a considerable margin.
Let's have a look at the Porter try then. So this pretty much rubber stamped the performance, killed the game, and again, direct, tight exchanges, Andrew.
Yeah, ref went straight to try. And when you saw the replay, I know Finn Russell was having a little bit of word with him, but a little bit of creativity, it doesn't take much. All you need is just a slight soft shoulder and someone like Andrew Porter is going to smash that door down. But I felt like Matthew Carley gave Ireland the benefit of the doubt with his going straight to the try. That at least needs looked at. He went straight to the try because I think he felt bad because Tag Furlong's try.
Should have 100% have been a try 5 minutes earlier.
Nice little decoy in the back play there, a little set play, and then you saw the players come in behind Furlong, latch onto his back and drive him over that line.
How much better is that than what we saw, you know, a few minutes before? It's just a tap and a straight up,
yeah,
you know, pick and go. Like, that little bit of subterfuge makes, yeah, the difference, you know. And that's why they scored the
try. And it was great to see them go, because we were four points in the lead at that time, and I actually thought they were going to take the three and go 7 points in the lead, because at a draw game, you know you're guaranteed to win. I thought it was a brave call,
yeah, the
but they had it
on,
up their sleeve.
The pressure was on massively, because twice they turned down kickable points.
Yeah.
They rolled, yeah, the dice. They went into the corner once. I think they tapped and went once. Again, maybe they shouldn't have got that try, but they were really under pressure. Third time round, if you go again, roll the dice a third time, and you don't get across the line, heartbreaker, the game turns, yeah, who knows what could happen.
Well, and if we go back, France versus Scotland, just before halftime, Scotland did the exact same thing. Denied 3 points, kept taking scrums. Penalty went against them, they lost the game. They should have taken the three. So I agree, brave calls, but this is his team, isn't it?
Yeah.
They back themselves.
You've all mentioned Crowley. So now that he's had a full Six Nations campaign, be interested. What's the verdict? It was never going to be straightforward, never going to be easy. That's a big jersey to step into. He's won a Six Nations. Congratulations to him. The big thing to do. What are we saying about Jack Crowley's first Six Nations?
Well, it depends what we're marking him against.
Well, not against Johnny, by the context of a realistic expectation for a 24-year-old first time in the jersey. I think that's fair. Against Sexton's impossible.
Yeah,
nobody can hit that standard.
I think it was a very good tournament for him on that barometer. He has made mistakes in games. You're always going to make mistakes. I think there's little areas of his game that he'll want to tidy up. Bits of the game management, when to kick, when not to kick. You know, this first kick of the game, that's a really, really good kick. Put the pressure down there, turn Scotland around.
Good tackle here.
Very important tackle on Blair Kinghorn, watching the ball. This kick, just a little bit too far. That bounces back in and it's 5 metre scrum. I've absolutely no issue with that one. Taking to the ball line, that's when we want to see Crowley do more. He's got great footwork. He can take it to the line. Just pulls that a little bit. You know, there was that one against France, but I think all in all, particularly France, his goal kicking there was excellent in that game when it needed to be. He's doing lots of really good things, like he's very brave, he's physical in contact. That was the kick that was just a little bit too far, but I don't think the option at that moment in time was very good. And then a brilliant line, yeah, kick. His line kicking has been excellent throughout this.
Well, one area, I wonder though, if we are going to nitpick, I think he's had a really good Six Nations. I think he's led this team. I think there's been a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He stepped into the boots of Johnny Sexton, and I think he's done really well. He's led this team. He's had enough confidence. You know, he looks like a confidence player. Even by his body language, he looks like a player, backs himself, and guys buy into that around him. Once or twice, he just looks slightly indecisive. I think that kick that went into the corner probably looked like just changed his mind at the line. A couple of times in the backfield, whenever he receives a ball, you'll know this, just looks a little bit indecisive at times. We're going to nitpick. I would like to see the best version of him is the version of him that just commits to something 100% and brings guys left and right of him into the game. And whenever he loses that indecision, he overthinks, I think, occasionally.
I thought he was carrying it up today. You can see his leg was fairly heavily strapped. Matt, you picked it up before the game. I thought his gait changed a little bit, and as a result, he wasn't tacking the ball quite as flat to the line, or he wasn't as big a threat himself. Now, that's not unusual, by the way. You know, anybody who knows rugby knows, I would say for 50% of the games, you're going in with a niggle, and it can just knock a couple of percentage points off your performance. Not enough not to start, not enough, yeah, you know, to get over the line, and he did that, but just not allowing you to play at your very peak.
Well, the last point, and the boys are all right on that, I'm going to disagree on one thing. His kicking percentage before this game was 74%. You can't go to the high veld on that percentage and win. You have, he has, and it's not the tough ones, but that one like we just saw, that's straight in front, 40 out, that's bread and butter. You must kick those games. He's got the hard things done really well. Carrying the ball in hand, getting the structure around him is great. It's what Trimby was pointing out. It's just making those decisions. He didn't need to kick two or three times, and he can kick. We know he can kick. It's just getting those other options right in his game. They've got to stick with him, but if his kicking percentage is not there, you know, they're going to have to consider something else, because you can't beat the top teams in the world at 73% kicking.
But again, it's the point that we made earlier on, that he knows that, right? Yeah. He'll know those stats, and those stats will be presented to him. So it's not a case of, oh, I'll just keep on keeping on here and I'll keep on getting picked and everything will be fine. Ultimately, if you kick at that rate, yeah, you're going to lose games. So he's aware of that. He's just won a championship in his first season, you know, his full first season as a starting 10. And he can now go into preparation for Springboks and beyond, knowing that that's an area of my game I just have to get better. And actually, as you said, Matt, it's probably the area of the game that is the most control of getting better.
It's a close skill. The game stops and you can take a kick at goal. Where the hard part is all the general play, the game's in flow, there's chaos. And you're playing in that chaos.
Yes.
And he thrives in the
chaos.
You
like him there, yeah.
Yeah, he's great in that. And that's what I'm saying. The hard part he's got. Yeah. Now we get to the easy parts.
Okay. We have loads more reaction to come from the Aviva Stadium. Ireland are Six Nations champions. Once again, we are spoiled. And the party continues here. More reaction from the team, from the coaching staff, and final words from the panel as well. Well, these are halcyon days for Irish rugby. You can run out of stats. What, 19 wins at this stadium in a row? We have Scotland 10 in a row. Let's hear from that man. He's been at the core of so much good in Irish rugby lately.
2-0-6 Nations champion again. What are these moments like celebrating with your teammates and family on the pitch?
It's incredible, isn't it? These are the days you look for. These are the days we actually dream for. And to be able to get a championship today is unbelievable. You know what I mean?
Talk to us about that game today. It looked tough out there.
It was tough. You know, we knew it wasn't going to be an easy game. We knew Scotland were going to come out guns blazing, and they certainly did. They gave us a good challenge. We had a few purple patches there, and you could see that they didn't give up to the end. You know what I mean? They put us under the pump with that last try, and we just got to make sure we were composed, and I thought we did that at the end.
Talk to us about the form that you've been in as well over the last year or so at least, and it seems to be getting better and better with every game. You look like you're really enjoying your rugby at the moment.
Definitely enjoying it. Definitely 100% enjoying it. But like I said, I know it's a cliche. It's a team effort, you know what I mean? And the guys around me make me look good, and that's all I can say. Individual accolades is cool, but it's always a team sport, and I always give it up to the guys around me and make me look good.
And a word for all these fans who are here today cheering you on. I know I've been here at every game and all the open training sessions, and I know you're very popular with all of them. They've really taken you to their hearts.
Ah, man. These fans are unbelievable. You know what I mean? From the bottom of our house, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much. We genuinely appreciate your guys' support. The atmosphere today was pumping. It was hopping. The sound, the singing, everything was unbelievable. And I certainly believe that helped us towards the end there and gave us a bit of energy. So thank you very much, Ireland. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Bundy.
Cheers.
He's been so good, really, over the last 12, 18, 24 months. Bundiaki just seems to have hit his straps in a big way, been a big part of the Irish success. And We have some shots of him in action today. I mean, in a way, he missed a tackle in the first half in midfield. And in a way, it's good he did it because it reminds you how solid he usually is. He almost never does. In the main, his game, Andrew?
Yeah, it's his. Well, we're looking at his defence here. His ability just to chop so hard gives turnover opportunities. But what he did today, him and James Lowe both did this, and Henshaw as well. They find themselves occasionally in a little bit of bother. They can all distribute, but what he does so well here, and James Lowe does the exact same here, just fights so hard, just finds some time, just buys time, pumps his legs, gets his hands free occasionally. He's just the all-rounder. People assume that he's physical, he's confrontational, he's direct, but he's also got that subtlety to his game. There's so many aspects of what was impressive about him today.
And he's changed his game as well. And that's, you have to have the most admiration for someone that does that. He's uniquely physically gifted, right? And we've seen that from the early days he came with Connacht and Ireland. So you give him the ball, he'll truck it up, he'll get you over the goal line, he'll offload the ball. But he's developed his game in the last 2.5 years. I remember seeing him when he first came onto the scene here. His passing left to right wasn't brilliant. It was substandard for an international player. Now, he's so comfortable on the ball. He's a distributor as well. So, very often you get a 12 and you go, you've got one job. Your job is, you know, you carry the ball. Or you're, you know, a second 5'8 and you distribute the ball. You've got a player now, he's got massive physical ability, but can drop the ball off as well.
Yeah, it's great because a player can get to 24, 25 and think, well, that's me done, that's who I am.
Well, I think Bundy was the player of the tournament at the World Cup until Ireland were knocked out. I thought he was the best player right across. Mm. And Ireland based so much of their game on him, and it's exactly what Shane said, the improvement we've seen in him. They either get him to the game line or people know he's getting the game line, but now he's got the ability, I'm going to the game line, but I'll drop it off.
And he's going to the game line square.
Absolutely.
Which is the biggest difference in his game. You know, when he first came in, he might have been a little bit lateral, but now he can take it dead straight, which sits down the whole opposition, and he's running at such full speed that you can't tell if he's going to play the ball out the back or run over the top of you. Okay. And they're the little intricacies that make you a great player instead of a good player.
He's changed the way he runs, he's improved his passing massively, and he's as physical as ever.
But that's the thing is, he retains that physicality. So how can you not stop on Bundyaki if he's coming down your channel? You cannot drift off for a second.
You've got to hold.
You have to respect for him. But so you do respect for him, and the player outside you has to respect for the next player. He moves the ball. That's why Ireland get corners and they can get offloads. Yeah.
And this was a guy as well that not long ago we were having a conversation that Gary Ringrose and Robbie Henshaw were Ireland's best centre partnership.
For sure.
Yeah.
And Ireland's best player at the World Cup, our best performer in this year's Six Nations, I think, along with Jemison Gibson-Park, and that's what you want in those people in your team, to bring their game to another level.
Sorry, John,
I was just saying, it's what you were suggesting before about the team growing.
Yes.
There's an example.
Yes.
Mm. There's a man who's grown and changed and moved forward.
The day started in the warm-up with Hugo Keenan limping down the tunnel. That seems like a long time ago now, and obviously that meant Jordan Larmour was stepping in to the breach, and it had been 4 years since he'd started for Ireland in a 15 jersey. We have a man who knows about fullback here alongside us, and you know Jordan Larmour. How did he do?
Yeah, he did very well. It's not easy coming into a game like that, and he got caught going lateral twice in his first two carries of the game and got hit hard, but he managed the backfield pretty well. You know, first high ball of the game to secure. It wasn't a great kick from Scotland, but he's taken it back. He's strong in contact. You know, I think he had one error in the second half, but we'll see. Breakthrough, missed tackle on the front line, and there he is there. Okay, just got scragged on. That's all you want to do as a fullback, because your footwork is going left and right. Another great high ball at the very start of the second half, which got Ireland and gave them a little bit of impetus back into the game. And he was a little bit unlucky on this one, I thought. Taking it to the line, just goes through the hands. And another day, he'll catch those. But then that can be down to the slippery ball too. But all in all, a really good game from him, because it's not easy to come in and do that sort of job.
And he wasn't even in, just so everyone at home knows, he wasn't in the match day 23. So, like, he's mentally at training, I'm not playing. And all of a sudden, bang, you're in straight away. And that's not an easy thing to do. And I think the young man made a, you know, really good account of himself under those conditions.
Yeah, well done to him. Final thoughts on the championship. How will we remember the 2024 Guinness Six Nations outside of Ireland and their win?
Italy, I think, will be one of the big talking points of this Six Nations. And we're talking about Ireland and the future for Ireland, and I'm getting excited about that. But if Italy can continue to push and continue to be competitive and just create this something special going on in that team, the whole championship gets better.
Is there something special, or have certain teams just massively dropped?
A little bit of both. Wales certainly aren't themselves. Scotland probably have been themselves right up until that, but sure, isn't that the most Scottish thing ever, beating England one week and then go to Italy and kind of undermine that?
100%.
But yeah, brilliant to see Italy. Absolutely brilliant. For the sake of the championship, it just creates a far more competitive environment. In terms of Ireland, it was job done. It's another Six Nations. It wasn't perfect. A lot of guys learned, and I think we'll step up, and they'll probably grow from that. So I think we're in pretty good shape from an Irish perspective, and hopefully Six Nations. Italy have probably saved the blushes. If England, Wales, and probably Scotland to an extent had their way, the Six Nations probably wouldn't have been the spectacle that it was. Italy and Ireland probably saved it.
And a strong strong Italy side is really useful to the Six Nations. And listen, I don't know quite where they are, but I know they will be better for having won these games and drawn against France. That's just if you've never done it before, you don't know how to do it. It's the hardest thing. How long did it take Ireland to overcome New Zealand? You know, how many knocks on the door do we have to have before we get over there? And then, you know, it hasn't been easy since, but they've won so many times since. So I hope Italy are there. Listen, England are back. I think you know, they're not a finished product, but I think they have a roadmap to be a more successful team. France will be better than they were this year when Dupont comes back. Wales have a long way to go, and who knows with Scotland, you know, it's impossible. Yeah. So, you know, what we're going to have, I think, is a very, very competitive Six Nations again next year, and it's why I love this tournament. You know, it's not the same team wins this every year. No matter, Ireland have had a hugely successful period, but almost every week, you think any team can win.
Can happen. It has felt, Matt, and you've mentioned this before in our chats over the last couple of weeks, it's felt very much like an immediate post-World Cup Six Nations. A lot in flux, the teams Shane mentioned in particular.
Yeah, I think if you look back on history, the Six Nations post-World Cups is really difficult, and sometimes is a flatter Six Nations because you've got the World Cup and literally 6 weeks later you're in it. Yeah. The South, you know, they're not playing really till July, June, July. So they go back and play club. Some of them have holidays. They get a break. They come back and they build up into it. So I can see a lot of the hangover. I think especially France. I think we can 100% put that down, that psychologically they were damaged from what they did and they'll have to rebuild. No Dupont, as we've pointed out before. But this is historically not the first time we've seen it. But I think the Six Nations is so wonderful that we've got Italy firing at last since maybe Dominguez was playing maybe 20 years ago. And I think that is a really healthy thing. Yeah. And we've got competition. You know, and that's what you want. Everywhere you want competition.
Yes.
And no gimmies. And there's no gimme. And that proved it tonight. England proved it last week. And that makes the competition exciting.
So even, Rob, if the standard, as has been said, isn't absolute A++++, there's still that wonderful sense of unpredictability, which this tournament always has as its MO in many ways.
Yeah, it always does. And, you know, I think, you know, you're right. The quality of rugby that was played in this year's Six Nations is not where it's been for the last few years, I don't think. Any team can turn each other over on a given day. Brilliant. That's what we love about the Six Nations, that any team can win a game. I think from an Irish perspective, it will be remembered as the Grand Slam that we let slip. And to...
Oh, well, don't say that.
I won't be remembering it like that.
Is that how we're signing off here?
Have you remembered as a championship win?
Listen, a championship win is unbelievable. Okay. It really is, and it's a trophy. But do you think
it'll be more remembered for the Grand Slam that wasn't? Well, you just said it, so you can't back out now.
I think from a player's perspective, yeah. This was one. This was such a golden opportunity. And this is where this team who want to be considered the best team in the world, that's where their head has to be at.
No, it's okay. I mean it quite possibly will.
You know? And you know, if you to back up what Robbie's saying, I think it's a wrong thing, but I agree. You know, Kieran Fitzgerald, Fitzy, if you're watching out there, and his great team from the 80s, people say that about them, and I think it's really unfair.
Sure.
Because that 1980s team that won, I think they won three championships then.
Yeah, but they're still an amazing team.
Amazing side.
A great team.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's really unfair that people say that, but sometimes they do. And I don't think that 80s team gets anywhere near the recognition they did because they didn't win the Grand Slam. And I think that's wrong. But I'm not supporting that idea. I think it's wrong.
You know, but I do think, we just saw all the faces, right? We saw the kids running around. I actually think they'll be the moments that will be savoured by the players as well. Yes, you know, they missed a Grand Slam, but it's a medal around your neck. It's a trophy.
Absolutely.
And I do think that, you know, when they reflect, you know, they still won the championship, and that will be, you know, massive. Listen, and there's all these stories and personal stories behind the scene that happened. Actually, just, you know, Willie Bennett, the Irish masseur for 30 years, his final game. What a way to end it all for him as well.
But one of the greats.
One of the greats.
Yeah. Final thought for Ireland. They'll go back to their provinces. They'll do their thing. And then South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scary.
Go back to their provinces, and Leinster will probably stuff up their season right right at the final hurdle. That's the hope of all the supporters of all the other three provinces. Get back together, and
it's
it'll
nice
be
to have a non-Leinster person on this panel, by the way. You're very welcome.
Ireland's just split into the provinces straight away.
For.
It's not even 9 o'clock.
We got them for the last 10 minutes.
So it's going to be a huge effort going to South Africa. I think it's going to be enormous.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of thought going into that. I think there could be some fundamental thought, right? How do we play? What characterises this team? And how do we break down that defence? Because England did it to them, Scotland did it for long periods today. South Africa's going to be another step up altogether. So it's going to be a big effort for them. I think, actually, honestly, the energy that Leinster could get if they manage to get across the line could be really important for them moving into that tour.
And the going to South Africa, you know, obviously you've had that experience. It is such a unique experience of going to the Republic of South Africa and playing, where the game is a religion in the place, but it's going from the beauty of Cape Town up onto the brown of the hard veld, of the high veld, and that is such a challenge. I mean, it's a great challenge and lifts you, but it is a great place to go and a challenge yourself.
But the challenge they need, Matt, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, what else?
That's what I'm saying.
How many more tries are there for them? Yeah,
and a bit of fear. I wonder if it's hard for them to get up for these games the same way opposition do.
Yeah, it is a little bit. It's a challenge, but my God, is it an opportunity.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You know, you're getting the opportunity to play two tests against the world champions.
Oh, sorry, they'll be up for that. Don't worry. Yeah. For these games, I mean, Ireland against lesser opposition, Scotland, greatest respect.
No, you see them celebrating trophies.
Okay.
Nine in a row.
It is a fortress. Fellas, we are done. It's fun for our traditional get-together for Ireland to win the Six Nations here at the Beagle Stadium. Let's do it next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it's been
a pleasure. Same time next year
is right. Thanks to the guys. That is us done for another year and for Ireland. It's been another very successful year. Six Nations champions once again. It was not always like this in Irish rugby. These are glory days indeed. Bye for now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.